Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and you're welcome to join us if you want. What we're going to do is we talk about cars and car repair problems, and the phone number 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And I've got somebody to help me with this. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes.
She's my right hand, my left hand, and she's been a partner.
Yes.
In the business since 1979.
That's right. And we've worked together and lived together for that long.
Yeah,
holy
no
cow.
Kidding. No kidding. Yeah, and neither one of us has filed for divorce.
Not yet.
And we've been through three kids and four grandkids.
Yeah, five total, but
And up until just recently, you worked with me since 1979.
I did.
So Renee handled the books and the money and a lot of front counter
tried
and appointments.
Tried to handle you, but... Yeah,
you know, I could do without that.
That was impossible.
You did a lot of phone stuff.
Yes, I did.
And then there was a time, I don't remember when it was, we had someone write our own software around the way we do business.
Yes.
And then you and I, and to some extent the kids, kind of made changes. And remember his name? The guy that I originally drew it? Steve Witzel.
Oh, yeah, that's
Steve right. Witzel. He was a computer programmer down at the motor vehicle division for the state of Arizona. He has passed on.
Right.
But he was the one that wrote it in DOS. And then not too long ago, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, we had it taken to another company and they rewritten in Windows or SQL Server. I'm not sure which one it is. So 602-508-0960. We've been working on cars together. And you drive a what?
Whatever I want, I guess. No, I don't know. No, I have a Jeep right now.
Oh, okay, a Jeep. But before that, you had a F car.
Yeah, I had a couple Fords, actually.
Yeah.
I had an Edge and an Explorer.
Yeah, and that was the very first Ford in my entire generation. All my dad, my mother, everybody. It was the first Ford. That just rocked my foundation when you bought a Ford.
I need to keep you shaken up sometimes. But we did buy that Ford Bounder motorhome. Wasn't it a Ford?
Yeah, it was. It was an F53 chassis. And to be honest with you, and you know as well as I do, that thing was perfect.
Yeah,
it was easy to drive, and the chassis was tight, and the tires didn't wear, and all that other kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Was it 32-foot or something?
I think it was
a Bounder.
32.
Yeah, and I think it had two roof airs and a big generator.
Mm-hmm.
And so we traveled every summer for anywhere from a week to a month with the kids.
Right.
And so 602-508-0960, there's lots of car issues right now because business is slow.
Yeah.
So right now, when you take your car into any shop, and I'm not singling out chain stores, independent repair shops, or dealerships. They all do it.
Mm-hmm.
You're likely to get a laundry list of stuff that you need.
Right.
And it's a good idea to check with your owner's manual, because your owner's manual gives you time frames in both mileage and time on when this service is due. It's not uncommon for us to see somebody is told they need a transmission service at 20,000 miles.
Yeah.
And we hear that a lot.
We do.
But the owner's manual is going to conflict with that. Mm-hmm. It's going to be 60 to 80,000 miles, 50 to 80,000 miles.
Yeah, some are even 100,000. I think one of the last ones I had was 100, which is surprising.
Well, it has to do with which fluid it came with.
Yeah.
So we have advanced the transmission and hence the power steering fluid. We've enhanced that year after year.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of people, if the parameters are 5 years or 100,000 miles, then they can go 5 years as long as they don't hit 100,000 miles.
Right.
But there's a lot going on right now. Spark plugs.
Mm-hmm.
How long do spark plugs last?
I don't know. I'd say 80 to 100.
Yeah, you're right.
Some might be over 100. I'm not sure.
If they're platinums, they could easily be over.
Mm-hmm.
And the shame of it is you paid for platinum spark plugs, which is twice as much as any other spark plug.
Right.
Or three times as much.
Right.
And then someone tells you to take them out because it's time for them to change, when that's easily an 80 to 100,000 mile spark plug.
Yeah, I think somebody asked you about that the other day, and they were at 30,000 miles, and they wanted to change their spark plugs or something. He was having no symptoms, nothing. It was just a random, you need to change your spark plugs.
And we see it in transmission services, engine coolant flush. We're seeing a lot of front end work. You've got bad tie rod ends.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, if you have bad tie rod ends, there's going to be symptoms associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have bad tie rod ends, oftentimes you'll have a click-click when you turn left and right. You'll have some excessive tire wear. If you have ball joints bad, you're going to have excessive tire wear. So if you look at the front tires and they're pretty even all the way across the tread, that's not excessive. Now, the front tires are going to wear a little on the outside edge because of the turning. Mm-hmm. Turn left and turn right. The rear tires simply follow. That's why we want you to rotate them, is because we want to get the ones with the slightly rounded edges on the back and get the back on the front that has a nice square tread pattern. So we can see that happen.
Sure.
And a lot of times I think we're, because we always overbid everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if we overbid everything, we can certainly squeeze in a tire rotation and still not be in excess of our
estimate. Sure.
I think we've done a good job, but we've copied others. Mm-hmm. In virtually every aspect of our business, we've copied others. But our policy, and you can, if I say something, just raise your hand.
Oh, don't worry, I will.
Our policy has always been, you know, you're not over your estimate, period.
Right.
Unless, of course, you're working on it and you see something, you call the customer, this is what I got, and they say, oh, yeah, I knew about that.
Yeah.
And then we do it, but we're still not over our other estimate.
Or we get a new estimate and an okay for that.
Okay.
Yes.
And the estimates include the parts, the labor, the sales tax, the environmental charges. What else
Everything.
Is there?
Everything.
Okay, wasn't there a third one? Environmental charges,
shop supplies.
Yep, uh-huh. Sales tax, and the parts and the labor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a matter of making sure that you don't come in under your estimate, or no, over your estimate by a significant amount of money. But by the same token, they give an estimate of $200, and you come in at $250. You have a right to be concerned.
Yes, absolutely.
And you work the front counter a lot, and mm-hmm. there's people that come in that just want us to double check what they've been told.
Yes, and, a lot lately.
Okay, and is what kind of findings do we agree half the time with it, or do we disagree a quarter of the time? We agree. What is it? Do you have any idea?
I'd say we disagree about 90% of the time that they don't need what they've been told that they
okay.
need.
And the technician tells you what? The fluid's really clean.
Sure.
The tires don't need a replacement.
Right.
I mean, it's those kinds of things.
Exactly.
Okay.
Brake fluid doesn't need to be flushed.
Okay.
You know, different things like that.
And we have sophisticated equipment where we can look at the brake fluid, and it's a pass-fail test.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty easy to do.
Sure.
You can actually buy some brake fluid testers, like litmus paper stuff, and at an auto parts store, and have them you can check it yourself. Or you can just ask the auto parts store, can you come out, take a brake fluid sample, and tell me where it's at in relationship to new and old?
Right. And isn't that measuring the water, I think?
Yes, it is.
Content.
It's the, yeah. Because moisture is the enemy of brake
mm-hmm.
fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's a closed system, it still moistures in the. Now, there's dirt and grime.
Sure.
So if you're at a 200,000 miles, you might change your brake fluid a little more often when it starts to look like black because
yeah.
of all the trash that's in the brake system.
Mm-hmm.
But if the pedal doesn't go to the floor, and if
right.
the pedal holds firm, and then when you hit the brakes, it doesn't pull hard or pull left, there's not really much to do.
Yeah. And sometimes, quite a few times, we do it during a brake job because we'll see it then, too, that it might need to be done.
Okay. And then if you're going to replace the calipers, you can't really charge them to flush the brake system because mm-hmm. that's part of the caliper labor.
Okay.
So, and then you know this, but this is what happened not too long ago. There was a friend of mine that called me,
mm-hmm.
and he broke down, and he needed he was having a tough time with getting the motor to start.
Okay.
So I talked to Alan, our son, who handles
mm-hmm.
the diesel,
mm-hmm.
and we decided that there's a primer underneath
yes.
the hood.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the right side of the vehicle, it's the diesel, you can prime it. There's a big silver button, and Alan says you got to push that button. And he had a code for a
glow plug.
Mm-hmm. That had nothing to do with what we were doing. And he kept talking about the glow plug code, and I said, shut up about the glow plug. So anyway, Alan says, pump that until it gets hard. And he says, and then have the person that's sitting in the driver's seat hit the key, and mm-hmm. it'll start. And I says, why do I need two people? And he goes, because you can't run fast enough to get around there. And by that time, if there's a bleed down, you'll get there, and it still won't start.
Right.
So we called the guy that we know, and he said, okay. And he pumped. This is his story. Now, I was pumping underneath the hood, and I had my granddaughter there. So I'm pumping, bumping, and it gets real firm. I said, right. He says, starts right up.
Right.
And then we said to him, don't shut it off,
mm-hmm.
because you got to go where you're going to go.
Yep.
So he went from where was he at?
I think somewhere in Phoenix and back up here.
That's right, Phoenix to Payson. And then he took it to a shop, and the shop, and he asked me to look at the bill. And, mm-hmm. and what, this is what I told him. To replace this fuel control, you have to take the oil or the fuel filter off. Then you put the new fuel control on, and you put the fuel filter back on. They had charged him to replace the fuel filter. You can't do that because that's part of the original, take it off and put it back on.
Sure.
It's part of the original job you have. In order to replace this fuel module, you got to take the oil filter off, and that labor is involved in the fuel module.
The fuel filter, yes, but most people aren't going to know that. We know it, but they're not going to know it.
Okay.
So it's unfortunate.
That,
yeah.
That was the only criticism. I mm-hmm. thought the pricing was fair. The diagnostics was fair. Everything was fair. Mm-hmm. It was $18 and some odd cents. And I said to him, I probably wouldn't make a difference. I wouldn't make a scene of it if you use these guys on a regular basis. And he says, I do. And I said, okay, well, just mm-hmm. for your edification,
yeah.
that's going to be that's an issue.
Right.
But more than likely, the service writer looked up the R&R, remove and reinstall the module. And the technician then submitted his fuel filter. I'm going to use this fuel filter along with, and this is the labor.
Right.
So the breakdown was between the service writer and the technician. So we have that as well.
Sure.
It's not uncommon for us to have a breakdown in pricing and stuff like that. And certainly we, like everybody else, sometimes they tell us to rotate the tires and we don't. Sometimes they tell us to replace the front brakes and we don't. But most of the time it's because they don't need it. When you
right.
drive a car and you have a problem with the brakes, there's going to be noises. There's going to be pedal pulsation. There's going to be something that yells at you and says something's wrong.
Well, that's what is very important about at the counter and communicating with the customer. And it's best if the person driving the car is taking it in so they can answer all the questions that you have. And that way you get a better fix or a better, you know, understanding of what needs to be done.
The technician then knows.
Sure.
When does it make noise? Is it a right turn or a left turn? Is it accelerating or not accelerating? When is this, does this noise come on when you turn on your air conditioning? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you just saved you a whole bunch of money.
Right. And if you write it down, the technician can see it because the technician, our technicians anyway, aren't at the front counter talking to the customer. They may call them at a later point on the phone, but usually not. It's usually all through the service writer.
Well, and the service writer's job is to talk to the customer and get all the information and put it on the repair order.
Right.
Then the technician gets the repair order, and there's no question on what he ought to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so those kinds of things. Then the technician does parts and labor, and with parts, they come up with a parts and labor estimate. We add 15 to 20% for sales tax, shop supplies, and a little bit of fluff.
Mm-hmm.
Just so if we have to put, you know, a filter here or a filter there, then we can just do it and still come in under our estimate. But there's lots of guys that do that.
Oh,
lots
sure.
of other shops do the same thing.
Yeah.
602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. If you have a car question or a car problem, or if you have a dispute at your house, if you have somebody who's saying that this is the right way and somebody else says it's the wrong way, then we can actually handle that. I am the Judge Judy of car discussions.
Okay.
and if I'm not and I make a mistake, then Renee will fix it for me.
Oh, okay.
So
if we disagree, then who?
then our listeners can decide.
Yeah, you said something the other day. I was saying, oh, I know what it was. That light was on in my Jeep.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what if it goes red? And you said, it's not going to go red. And I questioned you, and you just got your hair up on your back like you started.
Well, first of all, you've been
questioning the car guy?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And in my defense, it was a yellow light.
It was.
Okay, yellow means caution. It means continue on. If you're going to Texas and all you got is a yellow light, then just go to Texas. That's all there is to it.
Right.
It's not red. Red means stop. Mm-hmm. So there's a big difference. What Alan looked at that, and he said that there was a recall, or he was assuming there was going to be a recall, because we've heard that before.
Right.
Alan is our son.
Mm-hmm.
He handles the diesel part of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, it's just something I can clear, and he did clear it.
Right.
Did it ever come back?
Has not come back yet.
Okay. So what
something about a chafed wire or something
okay.
like that. Yeah.
He has the scanner, and it's thousands of dollars. He plugs it into the car. He looks at the code. There's an explanation for the code in big terms, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it asks him, do you want to save it or do you want to clear it or do you want to do nothing? And he says, no, clear the code. Well, that just tells the computer, look again? Well, because you don't have that check engine light again, the computer hasn't seen it again.
Yes.
You know what the difference was between before and after?
What do you mean?
Well, before
it saw it a few times.
Okay, who did it come on? I was driving.
Yeah, and then, you're always driving when the yellow comes on.
and then here's the what I was asking is, it came on when I was driving.
Right.
And then after you cleared it, it hasn't come on for you.
No.
Okay. Well, that says something.
Because I know how to drive.
No, you don't. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. If you'd like to join us, all you have to do is give us a call. Folks, if you want to find a good repair shop, go to marksalem.com and click on good repair shops. These are shops that I've known for years and years and years, and you don't need to drive to my shop. There's plenty of guys out there that do good work. Action Auto, I-17 in Deer Valley, full service, family-owned operation, been servicing Deer Valley and North Inc. since 1983. Tom and his staff are well known for quality workmanship, customer service, fast turnaround time, and just fixing what you got, not giving you a laundry list of things that they think you need. And they have technicians that are ASE Master Certified technicians. So, Action Auto at I-17 in Deer Valley. A great place to go if you're in that geographical area. Mm-hmm. And like I said, Tom's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
There was something else. We do about four spots in an hour. On the shops that we think are good.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys that we sometimes don't really talk about is Automatic Transmission Exchange, but not too long ago, Phil, and they've been around Phoenix since 1968, Phil took in a transmission problem no one else can fix.
Okay.
I later learned mm-hmm. that he fixed it for less than $100.
Wow.
And then he said to the customer, no one knows if I fixed it until you've driven this for a while. So I guess the customer had the car for 2 or 3 weeks, mm-hmm. called in and said, hey, It's done. It's over with.
That's great.
And so that's kind of nice because he had been other places. And I think what Phil brings to the table is he's been around transmissions before we even started in 1979.
Mm-hmm.
Phil has just been around since Barney Rubble had an automatic transmission in his stone car.
And that was his feet, I think. Whatever.
I'm dating him. He's the Power Glide. You wouldn't know the difference. A Power Glide transmission. It's a two-speed transmission that we used to have in the cars in the 60s and the 70s. Mm-hmm. Two-speed automatic. So he goes back to that, to the new 5 and 6-speed electronically controlled shifters and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the computer's watching your foot. I noticed I was talking to your computer the other day, and it said, her foot is sure hard and fast. And I said, well, you want to decelerate the power? And he said, no. He says, she doesn't always use it. And this is on your Jeep.
Wait, who said this?
The Jeep told me.
Oh, I see.
The Jeep told me that you were a tough driver and on the throttle a lot.
You're a Jeep whisperer, I see.
I am.
Among other things.
602-508-0960. If you have a car question, a car problem, maybe if you got an estimate from somebody and you want to know what the symptoms are, and I think that's a key.
Mm-hmm.
If you get an estimate from somebody for a bunch of work, you should say to them, please write down the symptoms I have. Because if they want to do an alignment and they say your tires are wearing unevenly, you can stop by Discount Tire and say, hey, look at my tires. Do you think they're running unevenly? Because these guys are tire pros.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, yes, they're wearing on the outside edge of the right front. That's the only place they're wearing. So, yes, you need an alignment. So that they'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if they're wearing perfectly flat, the fronts, and the backs are perfectly flat, then you don't need them.
Right.
So we're talking about the tread portion.
Yeah, and tires are so important. I mean, how many times do we go up and down the mountain and there are so many people broken down? They got a flat tire or a change in a tire at, you know, 110 degrees. That's not fun.
And you're talking, we go back and forth between Tempe and Payson.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some livestock and stuff up here. And so we do go up and down the mountain a lot. And when it's 93 miles from mm-hmm. our house to here.
Yeah.
And when we go up and down the mountain, well, how many cars do we typically see this time of the year when it's kind of hard? Will you see 5 off to the side of the road?
At least 5, maybe
at least 5.
10.
Okay.
And now, of course, people pull off into the brush and then things catch on fire. And how many fires have we seen this year already? Just cars catching on fire.
Well, and then that one driver that rear-ended the tanker truck
yeah.
and shut down the northbound lanes for a half a day or so. Mm-hmm. Then they went in and had to redo a mile's worth of freeway. So mm-hmm. that it's got new blacktop and the lines are painted.
Guardrails
and all that kind of stuff. So, and then we came back the other day and they had another fire that was west of us, and we saw that big helicopter with two rotors and he had that big bag below him. I wonder where they fill the bag. I wonder if they fly over to Roosevelt Lake or they go to Saguaro Lake and they just dip it in the water.
Probably both. And remember, we saw it. It looked like it came to Payson. They might even go to Green Valley. I have no idea.
Yes, you're right. Green Valley is a park here in Payson, and it has water, mm-hmm. a small lake in it. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Sometimes when you want a new car, the husband and wife can't agree.
Mm-hmm.
It happens a lot.
Yes.
So the wife wants... And it's surprising sometimes the wife wants an SUV and the husband wants a Corvette.
No.
and there's going to be an argument there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm exaggerating that, but oftentimes it's people want to know, why are you driving a Jeep?
Mm-hmm.
A four-wheel drive Jeep.
Yeah.
With a diesel engine. Why did you get that?
Well, it works for me because of what I do. I, go around and collect treasures so I can haul stuff.
Okay.
And we can pull it behind the motorhome, so I like that aspect of it because we didn't need another car.
Well,
just
and then,
sitting in the driveway. So
and the Jeep you bought, the Gladiator, which mm-hmm. is a pickup truck, when you shut the tailgate and pull the cover, it automatically locks.
Yeah.
And
it does.
People can't take anything out of it. They can't unleash the tailgate and they can't slide it open.
Right.
That's kind of a neat feature.
It is.
It basically locks the bed of the truck.
Right. And I think that locked on its own, I think they're doing that to trucks now because mm-hmm. everybody was stealing the, whatever it is, tailgates.
Yeah.
And so it would have locked with or without that cover, but the cover is very nice.
Okay. So. Anyway, 602-508-0960 if you have a car question or problem, or if there's some discussion at the dinner table a week ago about, radial tires versus inflation and all that other kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. When we come back, we'll talk about inflation of your tires, and we'll talk about what you should and shouldn't do.
Okay.
602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and you give us a call, and you're going to talk to who?
Gil.
His name just escaped my mind. We'll be back. Well, welcome back, everybody. It's 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and you're welcome to join us if you have a car question. Perhaps there's a disagreement at your house.
Mm-hmm.
I would never know what that is.
Oh, no. Not much.
Yeah. And you know what bothers me the most is you're arguing with the car guy when it comes to car stuff.
Hey, well, you've got my own opinions.
Okay. All right. It's one of the things I just hate to hear out of your mouth is two words. What is it?
I looked it up on Google or whatever.
Drives me crazy. I don't care who says that. The ones you say slow down.
Oh, well, shoot.
I don't have a choice.
Yeah, I mean,
you're scared to death.
I want to stay alive. Yeah.
Okay. Automotive Dynamics is Sun City's largest and most trusted for complete automotive services. Chuck's been around since 1982. I've known Chuck since 1972. Their technicians are not paid a commission or a percentage of your repair bill. Therefore, Chuck can ensure that they're not going to sell unnecessary parts and repairs. Basically, their hourly wage. And obviously, most technicians in our industry mm-hmm. give me their hourly wage spread. What do you think?
I don't know, 20-some to 40-some.
Yeah, at least that.
At least.
Now, the guys that change oil and stuff may be down between 15 and 20, mm-hmm. but the master techs are going to be up at $40 or $50
sure.
an hour.
Sure.
And those are guys that are seasoned and that can fix cars and diagnose them and all that other kind of stuff.
Sure.
But how many techs do we have?
I think we have 7 or 8 right now.
Okay, 7 or 8. We call 8, and then we have an 8-hour day, so we have 64 hours to sell.
Mm-hmm.
How often do we sell 64 hours?
Yeah, not often.
But we're working 64 hours.
Right.
And so the issue is most shops are not making a whole lot of money on mm-hmm. that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Sun City's at north side of Grand Avenue, just west of 99th Avenue. Automotive Dynamics is in Sun City. And then I want to toot our own horn.
Yeah,
okay. Andy said something. Our daughter Andy sent mm-hmm. me this, and it says and we got 2023 neighborhood fave from Next Door.
Mm-hmm.
And Next Door is some kind of a association that puts people together with good restaurants and all
it's
that
It's an
kind
app
of stuff.
Where you can go on and talk about what things you found in your neighborhood that you like or you dislike, or I like this restaurant, I like this auto repair shop.
Okay.
You know. I'd like this plumber or whatever.
All righty. So Andy writes, for the last 6 years, we've been voted neighborhood favorite by Nextdoor, and we're really proud of that. Thank you to all who voted. Your word of mouth, I don't know, your word of mouth referral can continue business. And then we have a bunch of people that chime in, like Bruce Burden, who's been working, I mean, since Fred Flintstone was around. Bruce is a customer of ours. Mm-hmm. Tom Honey is another one. Mm-hmm. They've been around a very long time.
Sure.
So anyway, Nextdoor, we think Nextdoor is a pretty good place because they're not willing to sell you a position.
Mm-hmm.
So if you sign up, they make it very clear that that doesn't ensure you're going to get any stars. It mm-hmm. depends on your performance,
mm-hmm.
and that's what it's all about.
Sure.
602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, and if you have a car question, for instance, if you want to buy a new car and the wife says one kind and the husband says another, we're pretty good about talking about both of those.
Mm-hmm.
I drive a Dodge truck diesel. 1 ton, because we haul tractors and trailers and horses and all that kind of stuff. You just bought the new Jeep Gladiator, and I think it's fair to say that we bought that so we could haul it behind the motorhome.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
very easy to put into neutral, to disengage everything.
Mm-hmm.
Then Alan put on this fancy tow bar that
yeah.
just folds up, and everything is nice
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, and you can't even tell that it's a tow vehicle when you're not towing,
right.
So that's what I like about it.
And
yeah.
it has two pieces of pipe underneath the front bumper where you lock these things in, and then you hook your tow bar to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so by locking them in, they can't steal your roll bar or your tow bar.
Right.
And so that's all right, but you had the Explorer before that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that Fords are just not my favorite cars, but you loved your Explorer.
I did. Yeah. And I loved my Edge. And we considered keeping either one of those to tow, but it was too hard. You had to do so much stuff in order to tow it each time. Well, the Jeep just makes it so easy. And we did go on that motorhome rally, and we laughed because it was a specific type of motorhome, but then I bet you 98% of the people were towing Jeeps because they are so easy to tow.
And it can be the two-door Jeeps or the four-door Jeeps like your truck
right.
is, the truck
the
model,
or the
Wrangler,
Gladiator,
all that
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
So, and I agree with you. Where were we at during that rally?
Indiana.
Mm-hmm. And we had the entire RV park situated, and there was a couple of other Gladiators, but most of the guys were hauling just the Jeeps with
right.
the rag top and
yeah,
stuff like
the
that.
Wranglers,
I
yeah.
think we have a phone call. Do we have a phone call?
Yes, we do. Say hello to Darlene.
Darlene, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Mark. I have a few questions for you and a kudos.
Okay.
I looked on your site when I was looking for an option. Daughter's car, and one of the places in Scottsdale was Bale Auto, and I had excellent service, an excellent price, and everything is working perfectly for probably about $1,000 than my other estimate.
Good.
They're
okay,
great
Michael.
People. Yeah.
Yeah, they are. In fact, I will be going there again. I was up in Canada, and on my way back, my tire light went off in Montana, which doesn't have a lot of service stations. Found one, filled it up with some air. The next morning at the hotel, it was down 3 pounds, so I knew I needed to, there was something in the tire. I took it over to Discount Tire. Kudos to them. They fixed it for nothing. There was a small nail in it. Not really a nail. It was a piece of metal that had a sharp edge. And, of course, it went in with the sharp edge.
Mm-hmm.
Now it has a plug. I'm a fan of plugs. The tires only have the trip on 1,000 miles. Is a plug safe to do another trip of 3,000 miles, or should I replace that tire because with only 3,000 miles on the tires, and it's a Subaru all-wheel drive, and all the tires have the same tread, can I replace the one tire?
Let's go back to the beginning. You took it to Discount Tire, and they put a plug in it?
Yes.
That's surprising.
Yeah,
I didn't even know they did that.
Yeah. And did someone?
Well, they took the whole tire off the wheel, and they did something, and I could see them hammering something, and they said they fixed it.
Okay, let me comment about that. I work for Discount Tire, so I'm going to just tell you up front. I work in for their legal department. If they took the tire off, you got a patch on the inside.
A patch. Okay.
Discount Tire never has plugged tires. That is the biggest sin in the world. And the key words here is you gave them to me. They took the tire off. So you don't have to take the tire off when you're going to plug it. You pull the piece of nail out, you take this little gizmo, and you put this rope in it, and then you dip it in the glue, and you go in, and you spin it around a couple times, and then you cut the two ends off, and you send them on their way. You don't need to buy another tire. A patch will be just fine, and they only put 10,000 patches on a day. Mm-hmm. So they know what glue to use, and they're all trained. I wouldn't buy another tire. I think you're going to be just fine. And if you wanted to take my grandkids with you and drive at 70, I would let them go with you.
Oh, I kind of drive at 90.
Oh!
Then they can't go.
Well, the speed limits are 80.
Wait
when
a minute.
You get out of Nevada, the speed limits are 80. So 10 miles over is 90. So,
wait a minute.
Yeah.
Renee, you're laughing at her?
No, I said they can't go then.
No, but wait a minute. Aren't you one of those that kind of goes a little fast?
A little fast, but you're the one that goes 90, not me.
Oh, Renee, oh, shame on you. It's so close to the Sabbath. I mean to tell you. Anyway, that should be no problem at all. I want you to take that out of your mind.
More question.
Okay.
When I was up in Canada, the 2018 Subarus were known for killing batteries. And the car is 5.5 years old. It's got 21,000 miles on it. And I am on my third battery. So when I was up in Canada, I bought a spare battery because I knew I was driving back into the heat. And I wanted to have a battery in case something went wrong with the one I had in the car. Now, the battery I bought in Canada was 690 cold cranking amps. Is it okay to put a higher cold cranking amps in the car?
Yes, yes.
Oh,
now,
great.
There's 20 shops you could name in front of me, and they wouldn't do that. Your car needed a 350, just a Subaru. It doesn't have a monster motor in it. You crank it over cold, it's not going to use a lot of amps. That 650 would be in my diesel truck. I have two of them, though, but that would be in my diesel truck. So, it's good you have it, and you'll always have power. You're going to have to charge it every once in a while, so you're going to have a trickle charger, and you're going to plug it into the wall, and you have these two little leads, and it has a red light and a green light. You put it on the positive and negative overnight. Do that once a month.
Yeah.
And you'll be fine. Okay?
Yeah, I do that. I do have a trickle charger, and I do that. And I found it's a Napa battery. And my husband and I, in 2016, in the 2011 Subaru, the battery was dead in Canada. We bought a battery up there, and that was 2016. I just replaced that battery in late 2022.
Well,
the battery I bought from Canada has a 48-month warranty on it.
Okay. I got to run. I'm going to take a break because I'm already up against it, but I'm going to answer your CCA and the life of a battery in Arizona. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 46 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. We got some callers, but Patricia, I wanted to address a couple things. Don't worry about the 650.
Darlene.
Yeah, okay.
Don't forget about the 650 CCA. You didn't need that much. That's a way overkill for your little Subaru, but that's okay. Once a month, put it on the charger if you're going to carry it with you. Make sure that you put it in some kind of a container, like a big tub, because if that thing falls over, it might leak acid, and you'll hate that. But as far as 5 years on a battery, Patricia, we're replacing batteries in 3 and 4 years.
Darlene,
I'm looking at Patricia. She's next.
Okay.
And that's 5 years is an extreme amount. We've never had a vehicle. We probably have 10, 12 company vehicles, mm-hmm. and they get 3 years at the max.
Yeah, 2 to 3 is max,
everybody
so
else.
That's pretty good.
So
but,
the CCA we've addressed and 5 years, so she's taken good care of her car, and she's fine. But now I'm going to go to Patricia because I remember her name. Patricia, how are you?
Hi, Mark. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a question. I have a 2006 Ford Explorer, and for quite a while now it's been, I call it skipping, like when I step on the gas,
mm-hmm.
and not getting on the freeway, et cetera. I took it to O'Reilly's. They plugged in their machine thing, and they said it probably needs the points and plugs changed. Does that sound about normal, what I'm trying to explain?
Yeah, a couple of things. I don't know how they came to that conclusion, because in reality, the scanners that we all own, and the scanner they use costs $120, and the scanner I use costs $2,000. It just gives you more information. So if your motor intermittent, how many miles are on your car?
about 200,030.
Okay. I'm not scared about that.
Did you have a check engine light on?
Yes.
Okay. Then that's going to be the misfire code.
Sure.
So we've got a misfire code that goes with the check engine light, and that someone needs to determine why you have a misfire, a spark plug wire, or a compression problem, or the lack of fuel. It could be any one of those. So you just take it to a full service shop and you say, here's the code. It's a misfire code. The check engine light is on. How much are you going to charge me to diagnose this? And what would you answer that?
Yeah, I'd say 79 to 149, depending on how far we have to go.
Exactly.
And I think your skip, I think it might be a miss, is what
yes.
normally we call it. So
yes.
you might
It's kind of like instead of going, it goes, that
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
So just take it into a shop. If you don't have a shop, go to marksalem.com and find one here locally. But this you're going to spend between $79 and $150. Sometimes the $150 is check the coil, check the spark plug, check compression. That's a lot of work.
Right.
And so that's at least an hour and a half. But if he puts it on the scope and he sees that number six wire is completely out of whack, he puts
right.
a new wire on it, the wire comes back in, boom, we're done.
Yeah, and you don't want to just go in and say, okay, they told me to replace this and this, the two things that you said, to the garage, because that's might not be what you need. And if you replace them and then it still has the problem, then you're not going to be happy with that. So I would just say, this is what's happening. Could you diagnose it for me?
And here's the problem. We don't work off of other people's diagnosis.
No.
If you come to our front counter, and we're like a whole lot of other shops,
sure.
we're not going to do that, because we don't know what they did and how they came to their conclusion. And so we're going to work off their estimate. And here's the problem. If they're wrong, we're in trouble.
Sure.
So we're going to diagnose it ourselves, and obviously it's going to be quick, fast, and easy. And the level of diagnosis at the auto parts store on a 1 to 10 scale is a 3. At the level at our shop and a whole lot of other shops, it's 10.
Sure.
It's altogether different. The sophistication of the equipment we have is, we talk to the car. We literally talk to the car. And give us your codes, and then we want to look at fuel trim numbers. We want to look at emissions. We want to look at compression. And we want to compare this cylinder with all the rest of them. We can do all that with this $11,000 scanner.
Yeah. Well, and this is a perfect example. Your friend went in, got it diagnosed, and he thought it was the glow plugs. He kept saying glow plugs.
Mm-hmm.
Had nothing to do with the glow plugs. It was something totally different. So you can find what the code is, but it's not always going to give you exactly what the fix is or what you need to fix.
You bring up a great point in this respect. You plug it in, and we got a cylinder misfire. The
right.
first thing everybody says is you need a set of spark plugs.
Right.
Put in a set of spark plugs, you still got the misfire. So let's put a set of wires on it. We put a set of wires on it, you still got the misfire.
Right.
And then all of a sudden we find out that you have coil over ignition, so there's a coil over each spark plug, and the coil's bad. But we've just spent a heck of a lot of money guessing. We spent a whole lot of your money guessing. Our industry does. There's no excuse for that. You're talking on a 1 to 10 scale sophistication. This is a 4. If the technician is ASE certified and he's been in the trade for 10 years or more, Eddie, what's he, 35 years?
34
years. 34 years. Ron?
Yeah, he's 15, 20.
Okay. How about our son, Alan?
25.
Okay. So we have long time technicians that work for us, and they just know what to do.
Right.
So that I got to run, but Barry and David, oh, you know what? I'll take Barry right now. I got time. Barry, go ahead. David, you stay there.
Yeah. It's a sick 2001 Mazda pickup. It's been sitting in the garage for about 8 or 9 months and hasn't started. So I went to start it, and it cranked for a little while, and then started acting like maybe the fuel wasn't getting to the injector. So I cycled the key a couple times, and then all of a sudden it went dead. No crank, no spark. We checked it for spark, and it's throwing out the code on the dash that says theft, and it flashes fast.
Okay.
Any ideas where to go from here?
Yeah, yeah. Get a new battery.
I did get a new battery and got that out of the way. The battery had been going down. It went down on me once about a month ago, and I charged it, and I didn't want to take any chances, so I got a good one, and it's at like 12.5 right now.
Okay. Well, we want 13.5 if you start it up and the alternator's working.
Yeah, it won't even start.
Okay. All right. And when it doesn't start, do you have the yellow light flashing?
I've got the red light, and it says theft.
Okay. All right. We'll pull the negative cable and pull the positive cable. Pull both cables. Touch the cables together. Not the battery terminals, the cables.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just the cables.
Put the positive on first. Put the negative on second. Walk away for 20 minutes. Come back. Put your key in the car. Buckle your seatbelt, and it should start up. We're just rebooting the computer. We're just telling the computer. And really, if you leave it sit overnight, then probably tomorrow morning the theft will go away. But it was thinking at one time or another somebody was trying to get this car running, maybe without the key, or it saw it cranking without the key being on. I don't know. It's something that we see not too often.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would do if I were you. And if you got a digital voltmeter, we need to be 1 volt, 1.5 volts over static voltage. A fully charged battery is 13 volts. But when it's in your car, it might be 12. So you start it up, and then we need to go from 12 up. So we need another, another volt or 2 volts, and then you're fine. The starting should not drop below 9.6. So if you put your voltmeter on there and you hit the key and it drops to 5 volts, then you got a battery problem. So those are just some quick things that that will help you. Thank you for your call.
Wait, 1 second.
Okay.
Okay, so on that battery cable thing, you only have to touch them for a minute or two?
Yeah.
They don't? Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're touching the cables, not the terminals.
The cables together.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I mean, barely touch them and then let go, count to 5, or he's asking how long to touch them.
You can touch both of them to your tongue. I don't care, but count to 10.
Okay, that's what he's asking.
Yeah.
Is
count
it a minute or two?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, to be honest with you, there's a lot of guys out there that are going to want to say, Mark, that's a 5-second thing.
Okay.
Okay, count to 10, and we got it done.
Okay.
And you can't touch the bolts because the bolts are loose within the cable.
No. Just the cable, the actual ends.
The ends, that's right.
Part that clamps around the post.
Yes, touch those two together.
And then connect them back to the battery, and do you have to wait a little while?
After you connect them to the battery, you're going to go positive install first, then you're going to hook up the negative, then put your key in the car, and it should start up for you.
Okay, thank you very
much. Okay, you betcha. David, how can I help you?
Well, I doubt you can, but I got to give it a try. 2006. PT Cruiser, limp in mode. Oh, 882.
Okay.
People have been trying to fix this for 4 years, and the car is in beautiful condition. Otherwise, it has only 67,000 miles on it. And V0882, nobody seems to be able to fix. The powertrain control module or PCM has been replaced about 6 times.
You know how many times I hear this in my life? So you went to the shop and you didn't say, I need a guarantee that you're going to turn off my light. And if it doesn't turn off my light, then I want to know what you're going to do next for free. So we hear this every day of our lives. We do, and a lot of other shops are the same way. You go to the auto parts store, the three-whiskered kid tells you what's wrong with it, because that's the way the code points. Let me explain. You have a map sensor code. It's not a map sensor code. It's the map sensor's not talking to the computer because the vacuum line's been disconnected. So you got to know that. You look at map sensor or mass airflow sensor code or a EGR code. You look over. You raise the idle up. You pull the line off. No change. You plug the light back on. The vacuum line. You put no change. You go to the other end. It's off. This is easy stuff. What part of town do you live in?
Northwest, I guess. Okay.
Okay.
But the thing is, I have been. Now, wait. It's not that easy.
Oh,
this
yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Wait. This car has wiped out to the point they don't want to ever see a PT mechanics.
Okay, let me ask you a question. So we're going to count on the guys that can't fix it, and we're going to let them determine our direction?
No, I didn't want to get into an argument, for God's sake. All I'm telling you is even the Chrysler garage.
Okay, I don't want to talk about this anymore. If they can't fix it, then don't listen to what they say. If they can't fix it, go to MarkSalem.com, look at my list of stuff. If you're in the Northwest, take it to Harker's. Take it to Harker's and he'll fix it. You know what? If he doesn't fix it, I'll give you all your money back. Okay? Take it to Harker's, 38th Avenue and Indian School. Don't tell him the story. Just give him the quick symptoms and then say, call me with an estimate. And maybe ask him, what's it going to cost me? What's your initial charge? What's your checkout charge? You get my heart racing. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at all those people that have filled your head with all this crap. And they're telling you what to do, but they can't fix it themselves. What sense does that make? Oh, boy. My panties are wadded up.
Okay,
602-508-0960. But if you take it to Harker's, I promise you they can fix the problem. Harker's Automotive, 38th Avenue and Indian School. Talk to Bob or Alan. We'll be back. Welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. I'm doing my best to calm down.
Oh, I tried, boy. You just get wound up about that.
I'm going to discuss it, but I'm going to take Don first.
Okay.
Don, good morning.
Good morning. A quick question about Thompson's Auto Repair in Mesa. Have they gotten their facility fixed?
Yes.
Oh, great, because the last time I talked to him, he was still trying to fix it. He gave me an excellent estimate. He goes, it's going to cost me somewhere between $2,000 to $3,000 for my 76 Jeep to fix it.
Okay.
But I'm good with that. His shop wasn't repaired at the time.
Yeah. We do that sometimes, too, and here's what we say. We had that Jeep in the other day for an overheat,
mm-hmm.
and we said to the person, it's going to cost you $100 or less to have us determine what the problem is, but the repair can be anywhere between $8,000 and $5,000. It turned out that this Jeep had just been driven into the ground in an overheat situation, and the engine was toast. I mean black toast. And so,
well, I know I need rings. I need front end work. I'm not talking about you.
But I would suggest that you give him the symptoms. If you need an alignment, then the question is why do you need an alignment? Let me tell you, 90% of the time they say it pulls one side to the other. Here's what happens 50% of the time. 50% of the time we swap the front tires left to right and right to left. And you know what? The pull goes away.
Yeah.
And so that's a radial tire pull. We see it every day. And we just swap the tire side to side. So instead of an alignment for $100 to $150 that really produces no fruit at all, mm-hmm. because the alignment's well within specification, why don't we just swap the front tires right off the bat?
Yeah. Well, he said Thompson's already looked at it, so he just wanted to get the work
done. No, they didn't look at it. We talked about it.
Oh, okay, good.
I told them what the problems were and everything else. The front end is squirrely. We're talking about rebuilding the steering box. We're talking about putting rings in it, a new ignition system, and
I don't understand the relationship. I don't understand the relationship between the ignition system and front end work.
That's all the stuff that's wrong with it.
Oh, okay. Well,
kinds of things wrong.
Okay. All right. Well, I can tell you this much: Brian and Thelma, as you know, are good people. And Brian, his uncle hired me in 1972 to work at his gas station. I've known that family since then. And Brian is very capable. But what we all want is the symptoms. Give me the symptoms. If you say I'm driving down the road and the steering wheel shakes left and right, an alignment's not going to fix that. If you're driving down the road and it wants to go left and left, an alignment's not going to fix that half the time. Half the time an alignment won't fix that. So it's just really a matter of give us the symptoms and then say, what's your checkout fee? $15, $35, $55? and then you say, fine, call me after, call me when you're done diagnosing it with the estimate. Mm-hmm. And that's how they, it should happen. Cause, and let me ask you a question, Renee. We always give big estimates on the checkout. How many times do we come in under, and how many times do we come in over?
Well, we always have to come in under.
Yeah.
Or else we have to call the customer again and update the estimate.
Right. But the idea is that all of us that have been around that have gray hair,
mm-hmm.
all of us understand you're going to bid it a little high.
Right.
Because if you're thinking it's one tie rod in and you need a second one because both of them are bad, then it's already in your estimate. You can go ahead and do both of them right then and right there and do one alignment and we're done.
Yeah. Or so, small stuff you can throw in and you don't have to call back and say, oh, well, I found this. Because it's already in there.
It happens. So, yeah, Brian's a good guy. You picked a good shop. He's the only one in Mesa that's on my list. But and if you want to, just you can say Mark Salem says that he's going to mail me a 50% off discount. And he's going to laugh because everyone knows it's not true. But he'll laugh. Okay?
Yeah, I know. I'm going to have him tow it in and just fix it so I can get in it and drive it.
No, it's don't do that. Jeep. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Just write down the symptoms. Just write. Brian, I want you to check the following things. I've got a problem in the front end, and this is what it does. I have a problem where sometimes it starts up, and sometimes it goes, so I have an extended startup period. So you say to him, I turn on my wipers, and sometimes they move, and sometimes they don't. So I want you to check that out. Call me with an estimate for the repair. That's what we want. We want symptoms. People, you know, people walk in, tell me the truth. They throw the keys and say, I'm going to take a trip, check my car out.
Yeah, that's so hard because there's so many different directions. Yeah, we need some kind of guidance.
What was going on? What's wrong with it?
Why don't you tell them what's wrong with it? Why don't you tell them what's wrong? Okay, that's good. That's what we want. We want symptoms. We get guys in all the time that want to tell us how to fix their cars. You know what? Their wives come in, they give us the symptoms. And when we see a big hairy-chested guy walk in and he's got a big hot rod truck out there, we just know we're going to have to school him and get him to give us the symptoms because he's already going to tell us what he wants. But we want to make sure the symptoms match the repair. And here's the deal. If we mess up, you get your money back. You get your money back. So if we say an alignment's going to take care of this for $88 and it doesn't take care of it, we give you the $88 back.
Yeah, we're not going to charge you. Or we give you the old parts back and we can put them back in if that didn't work.
Exactly. And that's happened.
Things, yeah.
So we tell you it's a mass airflow sensor because in our opinion, it's a mass airflow sensor. We give you the old one back, don't we? In the same box as the new one. Mm-hmm. You come back 30 days later and say the check engine light's been on a lot. We look and it's a mass airflow sensor code.
Sure.
The first thing we do is take ours off and put yours on. And we find that the hose between the mass airflow sensor and the engine has a big crack in it. So it has unmetered air going to the motor. So we know the mass airflow sensor is supposed to measure the amount of air being ingested by the motor. Well, if behind the mass airflow sensor, if there's a big rubber hose, if it's got a big cut in it, then it's actually sending unmetered air to the motor, and the mass airflow sensor isn't seeing that. So that's why I say you can look at Google, and you can look at the codes, and you can do all that. One last thing, Renee.
Yes.
How many times does the code match the actual repair?
Not often.
Not often at all.
Right.
You can have a mass airflow sensor code, but you got a bad bellows, one of the hoses that goes. You can have a misfire code that has an EGR valve that's stuck open. It's not a spark plug. It's not a wire. It's none of that.
Well, and we see people trying to do it themselves to save money, and they've spent all this money, and then they come in because they don't want to pay the checkout charge or whatever. But in reality, most of the time, that's your best bet because you're going to save money with not putting parts on that you don't need.
Guessing. We call it guessing.
There you go.
And oftentimes, the people have already spent more money guessing than we're going to. And we have three parts. We have the diagnostic. Let's find out what it is. Then we got the part and the labor. So there's three tickets there.
That was my point, yes.
Yeah. Then just pipe up.
I did. You just aren't listening today.
I'm just flustered.
Okay.
I'm just flustered. I hate it when we don't force the customer to give us the symptoms.
Yeah.
It's our job. When you go into the doctor, you don't tell the doctor to replace my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You don't tell the doctor that I need a new knee. You mm-hmm. don't tell the doctor that.
You let him
determine the problem.
Okay. Do we have another caller, Gil?
Oh, no, lines are open.
602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. For those of you in the North Phoenix area, Kurt's Auto Repair is at I-17 in Bell. He's a great guy. Mm-hmm. Him and Eric, they can diagnose anything. We actually sent them a car a couple years ago. We couldn't see. We were blind. We just couldn't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And they call me back and they go, oh, we found it in about 6 seconds. And I said, what is it? And he goes, the EGR's got a rock in it, and it's holding the EGR open. Okay, I'm coming to pick it up. How much do I owe you? $4,295. I'll bring a check. He says, we don't take checks. But he did find it when we couldn't find it. And that's kind of what the good shops work with. It's not uncommon for another shop to say, would you help me with
sure.
this? But then we just ask Kurtz to help us with this
yeah.
one.
Yeah. If you look at it so long, sometimes you just overlook the obvious stuff.
And
so.
We need a fresh pair of eyes.
Right.
And when I call him, I don't tell him, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this. I just say, here's the symptom.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the symptom. So 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And I'll tell you about another shop. There's another shop in town that it does good work. We talked about Thompson's Auto.
Yeah, we did. He is a great guy.
He is a great. Brian and Thelma own Thompson's Auto Repair. They're in Mesa. They're on Main Street just east of Stapley. And like I said before, I've known the family since 1972. When I started working at the Shell gas station at Broadway and Priest in Tempe,
mm-hmm.
Ken Vivian was part of that family.
Mm-hmm.
And the Thompsons and the Vivians were married. They used to marry one another on a regular basis. The daughter of Mr. this guy would marry the son of this guy.
Oh.
But that was normal. It was. Yeah. I mean, my family did that the same.
Mm-hmm.
So Thompson's is a good guy. He's the only shop in Mesa. We've had other applications for the slot in Mesa, and we're not shy about putting two shops in Mesa
mm-hmm.
as long as there's some distance apart.
Sure.
But Thompson's is one of those guys that holds down Mesa just fine.
Mm-hmm.
602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and I'll tell you something else. How many times does the wife come in and tell you what the husband said?
Enough, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
And so our service writer, Daniel and John,
mm-hmm.
we instruct them after the wife or the wife tells you what you call the husband.
Mm-hmm.
You call the husband and say, tell me what the symptoms are again.
Yeah.
And then we have it from the horse's mouth.
Yeah. And that's what I said. It's best if you're driving the car to bring it in yourself if you can, because it is easier to talk to the driver to get the exact symptoms, because a lot of times it doesn't get communicated right or, you know, the next person doesn't. Describe it right or something like that.
And it's perfectly okay for the wife to say, call my husband.
Sure.
Here's his name and
Absolutely.
Here's the phone number.
We like that.
And we just want to talk to the person that's experiencing the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We've had customers come in and want shock absorbers put on. And we say, why?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, that's what my son said.
Sure.
And then we find out there's an egg on the tire. So
mm-hmm.
there's a tread separation that's causing a bad vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And the son in Minneapolis told her to go have the spark plugs changed. Or something like that. So
that was a big jump. Okay.
Well, it's because of a vibration.
I know.
The engine vibration of the spark plug would be somewhat similar to an egg on the tires where it goes.
Yeah.
So it could feel like a misfire.
Sure.
But those are the kinds of things that, you know what, just, I've been in this business since
too long.
Yeah, too long. Since 1979. And when we were in Ahwatukee, those old guys used to tell us how to fix their cars all the time. And they were wrong more than 50% of the time.
Oh, okay.
And so you can say okay, but it's important for the wives to know that you just tell us, not what the husband said, give us the symptoms.
Sure.
Just the symptoms.
Yep.
And so I feel sorry for wives, because you know how many of them come to the front counter and said, my husband wants you to do this. He wants you to flush the cooling system. Why? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So we go drive it, and the gauge is at between half and three quarters, which is where it should be. So then we call the husband and say, what you got? Oh, it's running hot. Well, it isn't. Well, no, it's. I said, where's the gauge at? Well, it's close to three quarters. Okay, well, that's okay in the summertime when it's 115 degrees. If it's not puking packed coolant past the cap onto the ground or into the overflow, mm-hmm. you're not overheating.
Mm-hmm.
So may I suggest that you just drive it for a while more? Because mm-hmm. right now we don't have a low coolant light on. We don't have a code. We don't have anything.
Yep.
602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We're back on the air, 21 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. We're going to go do the phones real quick, and Larry, you're first, and Angel, you're second. Larry, go ahead.
Well, Mark, hi. Thank you for taking my call. Anyway, so I have a 2007 Honda Accord.
Okay.
It's my wife's car, and she's been complaining about that air condition switching from cold to hot or warm. Yesterday, I took it for a ride, and I drove it for about 2-3 hours, and I didn't have a problem, but this morning she went to work and she said left vent start blowing warmer, and she have temperature set on 16 both. The left start blowing warmer and then right was a little cooler, but everything getting warm and cold.
Okay.
So, any idea?
Yeah, we see this a lot. And here's what happens: they set it on a specific number. Let's pretend it's 66. They set it on 66, and the ambient temperature outside is 65. So if she has automatic temperature control, then the computer looks at 66 and it's 67, so it turns on the air conditioning. So, and actually the ranges are much wider than I'm telling you, but I'm giving it to you. And then sometimes when she asks for heat, then after it gives it the heat, then it goes to air conditioning. This is a common problem. Here's the question. When she gets heat, is it good warm heat?
I believe it is.
Okay.
I didn't experience that, but she said it's actually hot. She's getting heat.
Okay.
Because she said she's
working, okay. You know? Now, when it blows cold, is it nice and cold? But she just says that intermittently it just starts blowing hot?
The left, yes. The
right is cold. I drove it yesterday for 2 or 3 hours maybe and around the town, and I have a nice cold air.
Okay. Here's what I would do if I was working on this car, especially when you know, she has symptoms. I'm going to go drive the car, and I'm going to ask her, where do you set your temperature? And she's going to say 73. And then I'm going to go drive the car to see if the compressor cycles on and off, because as the temperature in the car dances around 73, then sometimes it's going to go hot and sometimes it's going to go cold. Have her go to the extremes. Have her go to cool and have her pick the lowest number she can find. Now, she's going to say, I'm going to get cold. You say, that's what the passenger window's for. Just drop the passenger window down, but I want you to run it as cold as possible, and I want to know if it gets warm. Now, here's the deal. If it gets cold and she says it almost froze me out, then I know it's got Freon, I know the compressor's good, I know the belt is good, and I know the temperature controls are good. That's fact. That's all there is to it. But it can be the other way around. She asks for heat, and it gives her cold. Well, if she asks for heat and she puts it at 64 degrees, then if she asks for cold, it goes to 68 degrees. There's a difference there. The computer has to figure out what it is you want. But here's what you said that really made a big deal for me. You said it was good and cold when you drove it, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then I see if the Freon level is low, there's a low pressure switch. And if the low pressure switch sees low refrigerant levels, it will shut off the air conditioning compressor. And the customer says, intermittently, I get warm air. And I say, well, where's your temperature at? And their temperature is right at ambient temperature. So if it's 72, then they set it at 72. Well, the computer's having a tough time turning it on or turning it off, or it's low on Freon. Mm-hmm. So if it's low on Freon, then when it drops to a certain level, then the compressor turns off. And then that's when she gets warm air. Then if she asks for a little colder, then the compressor turns back on. But if it's low on Freon, the compressor can turn on and off. It's going to have the same readings. So here's what I, again, tell her, or you go do it, run it at full cold on the hot of the day for about 3 miles. Full cold.
Mm-hmm.
Then go back to the temperature she uses. And if you say to me, Mark, it's cold sometimes, and then the warm comes on, I'm going to say, well, how long is it cold? Well, it's 5-6 minutes. How long is it warm? Just a minute. Well, the computer's having a tough time because it's dancing over those numbers. So if you want it to quit doing that, either go colder or go hotter.
And, Larry, did I hear you say that the left side was warm and the right side was cold?
Yes, exactly. Left okay. side. So usually the left side, she complained about left side, start blowing in the driver's side.
I guess the question is, does each passenger, the driver and the passenger, have two different temperatures?
Yeah, that could
because
be.
It, sometimes we have that, and mm-hmm. I don't know. He has a Honda. You had a Honda, right?
Honda Accord.
Yeah. So he may have where each one of the passenger and the driver can pick their own, mm-hmm. but I want him to go full cold and full hot and just see if there's a problem. Because if he gets really hot on both sides and he gets really cold on both sides, mm-hmm. then we just need to adjust the temperature. Okay.
So it's no blend door, nothing like that, that can be making one side cold and one hot? Or
no, the blend door does exactly that. The blend door opens and closes to give you more cold and less heat or mm-hmm. more heat than less cold.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the blend door was stuck open mm-hmm. or if she had a popsicle stick go down the dashboard into the vent and mm-hmm. stick the blend door open, mm-hmm. then usually the blend door will just stuck at all cold or all hot.
Yeah.
So the blend door mixes hot with cold and mm-hmm. gives you the temperature you ask for. So anyway, and now Larry Hayes is going to call me because there's a blend door and there's something else. And he was teasing me the other day. He says, you used the wrong
mode door.
The mode door gives you hot and cold, but mm-hmm. the blend door gives you up and down.
Or defrost and heat and or feet or center vent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it gives you those different locations. But he was right. Mm-hmm. I messed that up.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, good luck to you. Larry, thank you very much. And Angel, how can I help you?
Yeah, hello, Mark. I have a 21 GMC Canyon, and after about 2,000 or 3,000 miles, it started running rough. The idle did.
Okay.
And I was wondering if you could tell me what's going on with that.
Well, one of the things that you could do for yourself is take the air cleaner hose off the top of the throttle body. Okay. And can you get it to run in park in your driveway? Can you get it to run bad or misfire?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. So what you're going to do is buy a can of carburetor spray, and you're going to sit there and you're going to take the air, or the duct work off the top of the throttle body, and you're going to hear it go da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then you're just going to go psst, psst, psst with carburetor spray. If it smooths out, then you either have a substandard fuel supply or an abundance of air. And if it's the abundance of air, it's probably going to be a vacuum leak, and it could be a bad PCV valve. It could be a bad brake booster. It could be a bad air conditioning line underneath the dash. It could be an EGR that's stuck open. I don't know if I said that. Mm-hmm. But there's a variety of things that can cause that, and a good technician won't have any trouble, because what he's going to do, he's going to pinch off the PCV valve line with a pair of pliers, and it doesn't change. Well, that's not it. And then he might start squirting carburetor cleaner in different areas, and he goes, oh, when I get next to the booster at the vacuum, oh, look here, that line is bad. So he replaces the line, and he's fixed it. But if you want to, the question is this, is it running rich, or is it running lean? And most of the time, they run lean. If you go psst, psst, with carburetor spray and she smooths right out, then we need to find the vacuum leak. Okay?
Yeah, I took it to about four or five different dealers, and they all say the injection is it has 28,000 miles now. They put it on the scope and they said there's nothing wrong. They can't find nothing wrong.
Well, and that's true a lot, but did anybody test drive it?
Yeah, all the mechanics, okay. GMC and Chevrolet,
okay.
Driving.
And so were you in the car too?
No.
Okay, because you can say, I'll wait here until you get a technician. I'd like to go with him. Did they say they were unable to duplicate your problem?
Well, one mechanic said it's the way the fuel injection is. Another one says they put it on the scope and they don't see nothing wrong
okay.
with it.
Okay. The scope is going to pick up a bad spark plug. You know what? I'm going to take a break, and I'm coming back to you in just a few minutes, so stay right there. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. We're talking to Angel right now, but let me just tell you about it. One of the best diesel places in town is Strictly Diesel. They're up at I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. When it comes to light-duty diesel truck, both foreign and domestic, when you're talking about Chevy and Dodge and Ford, then Strictly Diesel is the king of diagnosis, the king of repair. So if you have a problem, both foreign and domestic light diesels, they're located at I-17 and Pinnacle Peak in North Phoenix. Hey, Angel, are you still there?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
Angel, when with you having this miss, does it seem to be when it's in drive or does it do it when it's at idle?
Most of the time, idle.
Okay.
I noticed.
Right. So when you're at idle,
well and,
okay, when you're at idle, instead of it going, it goes, is that what's going on? We have a little bit of a rough idle?
No, it's just like a constant rough idle.
Constant.
Every now and then.
Okay, so it goes into rough idle mode, but then it some period of time later it'll smooth out. Yes.
When I turn the AC on, probably gonna.
So this is going to change the way the engine sounds when you turn the AC on and off.
Yeah, it gets a little smoother.
Okay, I'm having a tough time tying that symptom to it. This isn't a tough thing. Whenever we have an engine misfire or a rough idle or an acceleration that instead of going yeen, it goes da 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 da, then we're looking at spark and fuel. That's what we need in order to make this thing run. When you turn on the air conditioning, this is what happens. You're idling at 600 RPM. When you turn on the air conditioning, you might go to 500 RPM. The computer sees the idle drop, and it immediately brings the idle back up to 600 RPM, and it'll do it faster than you can breathe. So the computer's going to reset the idle if it sees it below the threshold, what we call the floor, and it's going to kick up the idle. But still, you still got a problem with spark and fuel. So most of us are going to take propane, and it's going to be idling, and it's going to be missing. Da 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 da. Hopefully, that's the way we're going to move this propane around the top of the engine, and then all of a sudden we get over near the EGR valve, and it goes smooths out. And then we come back off the EGR valve, or any kind of vacuum leak with a PCV valve, with the vent hose to the PCV valve, a base gasket on the throttle body. These are all places, not necessarily at 20,000 miles,
yeah,
but these are all places that we look for this kind of activity. But the diagnostic, if this was in the front counter with you, what would you,
yeah,
what
79 to 149 is okay. What we would diagnose.
And
for.
And there's what percentage of the time does the diagnosis find and fix the problem? Give me an example. We got a vacuum leak and the PCV valve hose,
yeah,
is bad.
Well, I would say, I mean, it's always going to find the problem, but it might be $5 to fix it if it's like a hose or something, right, that's cracked and we can splice it or
so
put a new one on.
There's $80 to find it.
Right.
And then there's $20 to fix it.
Right.
Okay.
Could
that,
be.
That's,
yeah,
typically how the repair orders are supposed to look.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you only had 21,000 miles on it?
28.
Mm-hmm. Are you still under warranty? Any kind of warranty?
Yeah. I've taken it to 5 different GM dealers, Chevrolet, and
that's crazy. I don't understand that.
They don't find nothing.
Can you duplicate the problem for them?
Yeah, I'm sure they. I wasn't there, but I'm sure they noticed it. One said that it's the fuel injection. That's the way the fuel injection is. I did change from Arco to Chevron gas and the QT, and it got a little better, but I could still feel a miss.
Okay. I don't like the answer about that's the way fuel injection is, because my response would have been, you should have told me this wasn't going to idle good when I first bought it. And
right. Well, when it's brand new, it there wasn't really much of a problem with the idle. But after 3,000 miles, it's...
Yeah, it doesn't make any difference. At 20,000 miles, that Honda will run 200,000 miles or even higher if you don't overheat it. So when we look at this big picture, they're saying, oh, you're going to experience this problem before 20,000 miles. That's totally unacceptable.
That's a GMC Canyon. It's a truck, but still. It doesn't make any difference. Yeah, it doesn't make any difference.
It's the same thing.
Kind of is, yeah.
So you only have two choices. You can continue to take it back to them, or I will tell you where good diagnostic shop is around you. Now, you can go back to them. Does any dealer have two or three repair orders trying to fix this problem? Does anybody have that?
No, not that I know.
Okay. How many dealers have you been to and them not be able to fix it?
Just two, but I took it to them like two or three times and they put it on a scope and nothing's wrong.
Okay. All right. So, I can't promise you you're going to get your money back, but this is what I would do if I were you. I'd just go get it fixed. And then once you got it fixed, you take all their repair orders and you take the one that fixed it and you go talk to the customer service rep at one of the dealerships, perhaps the one you bought your car, and you say, would you please digest this? Talk to the service writer, talk to the general manager. I'm not mad at you. You weren't in this food chain. But the issue is this is what fixed it and you guys tried and couldn't. Is there any way that you can can you handle a reimbursement that this repair was $212.50? Can you guys handle it? Because here's all the paperwork and this is what fixed it. And so that's a reasonable expectation. And if you're a new car owner and you bought it from there and they're one of them that couldn't find it or said it was normal, then that's it. What part of town do you live in?
Goodyear.
Okay. Harker's 38th Avenue and Indian School. If you can duplicate it, if it's not intermittent, if it happens all the time, I promise you, Harker's can fix it.
Mm-hmm. And you know something else that sometimes happens. 38th Avenue and Indian School is this is a new problem, and if people start complaining enough, then they'll once they do have a fix, and you've been in for it twice. Then there's a good chance that they're going to fix it anyway.
Yeah, and that's called a technical, what is it called?
TSB, Technical
TSB, Service Bulletin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, and it's not the fuel injection, I can tell you that much. You just set a code. Mm-hmm. You just set a code in a heartbeat. If one of the cylinders didn't have fuel, it'll set a code in a heartbeat. So it's just get it fixed. And Harker's can do that. And then take that repair bill back to the dealer who you bought it from. Take all your repair receipts or your documents and just ask them, would you please consider paying this bill for, you know, I've had it in here a couple times and you guys couldn't fix it. I wouldn't say, Mark Salem said that blah, blah, blah. Don't do that. Just say, here's the evidence.
Yes.
It is fixed. And here's your three work orders, or here's your two work orders, plus another dealer's work order and another dealer's work order, or an independent shop, whatever. And just say, now it's fixed. But I bought it from you guys.
Harker's
and it was
Harper.
Harker's. It's Harkers.
Okay, great.
38th Avenue in Indian School. And when you go there, you're going to probably talk to Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you have my permission to say, Mark Salem said that there's not a prayer in hell of you being able to fix this car.
Great.
Here's the deal. That's throwing the gauntlet. You know that, right? Mm-hmm. I'm throwing the gauntlet at them. I'm saying, you guys can't fix this. I know good and well they can, especially if it's there when they're working on it. It can't be intermittent and it only happens twice a week. If it happens twice a week, you got to wait till it gets worse and easier to find. That's all there is to it. And it will get worse. It'll set a code, which doesn't necessarily mean that's the direction you go in, but the code may say, I'm running lean. Well, we're looking at vacuum leaks. We're looking at power brake boosters. We're looking at the PCV valve. We're looking at the intake gasket because we know that's a lean condition. So those are the kinds of things that good shops and Harker's has got two guys there, Bob and somebody else, and I don't remember what his name is, but he's really good. And do you have a pencil with you right now?
Yeah.
602-278-5558, and their hours of operation. They're closed today. I think they're a Monday through Friday shop.
Yeah, they are.
And they might be Monday through Saturday. I don't know.
Today's Saturday. They're closed today.
Okay.
So Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday. And then, you know, I'd appreciate it if you'd send me an email, mark@marksalem.com, mark@marksalem.com, and let me know what you find out.
Terrific. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Gil, I'm way past my break, aren't I?
Yes, sir.
Sorry, I couldn't keep him on track, Gil. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 47 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and we're going to go to Doug. Doug, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. I have a non-related automobile question.
Okay.
I don't listen every morning. I try to. But I heard about, I don't know, a month ago that you were going to be doing something else. My question is, are you guys going to continue the Secret Santa Club?
I'm sure we will.
Yes. The boss just said yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to know. I appreciate it.
Okay. Let me just comment on that. That's really run out of our shop, mm-hmm. and we've done that how many years?
Oh, I think it's 20-some.
20-some
plus years, yeah.
And we have our list of customers that we always contact.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happening is I'm retiring from the radio show in the middle of November. I've been doing radio since 1988. And so but our business is still going to be running, and our daughter and our son are going to continue to run that business. And I'll just tell them, the Secret Santa Club got started how many years ago?
Yeah, I want to say we're on 22nd or 23rd year.
Okay. And the Secret Santa Club is a lot of people, obviously, like Doug,
mm-hmm.
they wake up on Christmas morning and Christmas Day and they feel empty because they haven't really done anything for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They just feel empty. So Secret Santa Club, what do they do?
Yeah, well, we write letters and people donate. And then usually Andy and I and anyone else that wants to help will go out shopping. We identify people that are in need. Sometimes churches help us. Sometimes, we will donate to St. Mary's Food Bank or whatever, but we find individuals that need help. We'll go out and buy for them and make sure we have everything ready to go. We try to do it the first week of December so that they know that they have something coming at Christmas time, and we disseminate the gifts and
we lean
that.
On people from churches.
Yes.
Did you have a parishioner that mm-hmm. has had a lot of bad luck?
Right.
And our car's broken, or perhaps our refrigerator's broken, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then oftentimes we'll go to senior citizens centers.
Sure.
And we'll say to the people, who doesn't have any family?
Right.
Who doesn't have any family? And so Christmas comes. I know last year there was a lady at one that was mm-hmm. very old and had no family.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys took clothes, mm-hmm. perfume, mm-hmm. Shampoo. You just bought her a bunch of stuff,
yeah.
And she was crying when you left.
Right. And nursing homes are specific about what people can eat, so I don't think we've ever done perfume, but they love stuffed animals. They love slippers. They like robes. We'll give them snacks that they can have. We'll also give them money for haircuts, fingernail, you know.
For the women.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
Haircuts for men and that type of thing.
Okay.
So,
and
yeah.
As you know already, Doug, whatever the highest donation is,
we match it.
We match it.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, we'll have a friend of ours that'll
yeah.
throw $5,000 in there. And so we match it, you know?
Yeah.
It's all there. Now, it's Doug, if you've participated in that for years and years, at the end of Secret
yes.
Santa time, we send everybody a letter telling them exactly what we did the money and how many households we helped and how many old people we helped and how many young people that go to school that don't have a dad
copies
or don't have a mom.
Copies
of all the receipts and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
We identify the most amount,
mm-hmm.
and every once in a while our friends will ding us on that.
Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
And that's okay. We don't care.
Yeah.
But we've been doing that how long, the Secret Santa Club?
22 or 23 years.
Yeah.
I haven't written the letter yet this year, but I always change it to the
yeah.
next year.
So, and it's just a matter of there's a lot of us that just feel empty Christmas because we just really didn't do anything. Our kids are all spoiled. They got lots of presents and all that kind of stuff, and we just wish that we had, and that's how it got started.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like the senior centers
mm-hmm.
homes
mm-hmm.
because we paid, like one lady, she wanted her hair done,
mm-hmm.
and so we paid the beautician like 6 months of
mm-hmm.
money to do this lady's hair.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the senior citizen, but there's also, we contact social services and we also contact schools.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have a family that the kids maybe not dressed right? Mm-hmm. Or do you have a family where the kids don't always eat lunch? Mm-hmm. Well, we'll go in there and we'll get them clothes and we'll pay the whole year for them to have lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not bragging. There's a group of people behind us. Mm-hmm. How many?
Usually 40 or 50 right. people help us.
And they're also can chip in as much or as little as they want.
Absolutely.
Now, I did say at the very first time that I will give our number out and that we'll match anybody else's number. And you know that Blackwell and a whole bunch of guys will come up with this giant number, mm-hmm. which we promised mm-hmm. 20, 30 years ago that we would participate mm-hmm. in.
So we'd match. Sure.
And so we match the highest amount of money. Our family does. So anyway, thank you very much for bringing that up, Doug. But yes, if you're on the mailing list, you'll get a message this year too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you, Doug. There is a little good in us every once in a while as car guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because and there was a lady, remember that lady who had no car seats and she had young kids mm-hmm. and she didn't have the opportunity to get her car cleaned and there was all kinds of stuff wrong with it. Well, three of us took her car away from her. Mm-hmm. We had actually social service help us. Mm-hmm. We gave her a rental car and then we took her car away and then we just kicked butt for one day and fixed that car up and the fire department gave us a couple of car seats to fit in the back of the car.
I think that was for that show you did.
Okay.
NASCAR Angels. But all right. Yes.
That's an example mm-hmm. of this. So
you could do. Yeah, we could do.
We could do that. So anyway, 602-508-0960. We only have about 5 minutes left in the show, but if you have a car question, 602-508-0960, and we have a caller. Who's that?
Hey, good morning to Jim.
Jim, good morning.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. See, I have a 2015 Honda Accord LX, got 109,000 miles on it, and I've noticed this occasionally if I'm on one of the streets in town doing 45 to 50, and a light will change red, and instead of running it, I'll just get on the brakes really hard, harder than normal. When I come to a complete stop, the car almost bucks like it wants to die, like it loads up. And then if I just let my foot off the brake a little bit, it kind of smooths out. The RPMs go way down, and then it comes back to normal. It's never died on me, but when I really come to a hard stop quickly, I get that once in a while.
Okay.
Is that anything you've heard of?
Yeah, I think you've got a vacuum leak in your booster. I'm going to guess, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to intermittently pull off into a parking lot, and I want you to stab that brake pedal hard. You can put it in neutral. It can be in drive. No one cares. So stab the brake pedal and listen to the motor. Then let up on the brake pedal, drive around a couple of parking spots, drive for maybe 15, 20 seconds, then hammer the brake pedal again and tell us if the motor runs smooth or if it starts to go ta-da, ta-da, ta, and then it runs smooth. Because if the brake master's booster is leaking vacuum, you describe symptoms that perfectly match that.
Okay. It does it all the time. They just want to come to a hard stop after doing like 45 or 50. Like it loads up. So, okay. Okay, I will do that.
And when you say, does it run rough without a brake application?
Oh, no. It's smooth as a Swiss watch. I mean, it runs just fine all the time.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think you and I have come to the key action to start this calamity is brake pedal application, especially you said when you come up on an intersection, you decide to stop instead of running it like Renee does. So when you're using the heck out of the brakes when you stab the throttle like that. So and you're right. Also depleting the vacuum in the booster. And so those are the kinds of things that you can do. Now, what you can do is you can get a can of carburetor spray and you can open up the hood, don't get it on the paint, and have your wife stab the brake pedal until she starts running poorly. Then just kind of spray the intake manifold and around the piece of your valve, and all of a sudden you hit a spot where the motor smooths out. And then you stop, and the motor starts running rough. Meanwhile, her foot's on the brake. And so you can, and then you're looking for a vacuum leak or a vacuum source. Now, there's a hose that goes from the engine to the booster on the outside of the car. Touch the hose and make sure it's nice and firm from one end to the other. Because sometimes we'll get a little bit of oil in that hose and then it'll collapse on us. But you'll be able to feel the tension on the rubber hose that goes from the engine to the vacuum booster. Okay?
And what kind of stuff does he use to spray on that?
Carb cleaner, anything flammable.
Said, I thought you said brake. Okay.
Brake clean is flammable. Okay. Carb clean is flammable. Propane is flammable. If he has a, he could take the tip off his propane tank and put a 3 foot of 3/8 fuel line. Then he opens the valve and he just kind of waves that around, and hopefully under the best of conditions he can find it.
Okay.
Anyway, good luck to you.
You know what? Hey, do you know why I don't run red lights?
Because
everybody else does. I don't.
I got my first ticket in 45 years of driving about 6 months ago for $300. Yeah. I thought, okay, no more of that.
Well, couldn't you go to driving school for that or anything?
I did, but by the time you pay the driving school and all the fees, instead of being like $355,
okay. Well,
and it's not on my record.
See, Renee doesn't have that problem because she gets stopped on a regular basis. She bats her eyelashes.
Stop it.
It's really nice. You know, you're a very handsome man and stuff like that. Stop hitting me.
Stop
hitting me. I'm just making a joke.
I am a good driver. You're not. So don't say
it's
that.
Been a while since I've been stopped.
I know.
It's been a long
you're
time.
You're lucky.
Yeah. No, you're right. There are times when I'm going 5 over the speed limit, 7 over the speed limit. Don't give me that
hit. Most of the time. Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for calling, Jim. It's interesting the vacuum plays a part in the brakes, but that if he can diagnose it himself, then when he takes it to a repair shop, it makes a big difference.
Sure it does.
So 602, oh, forget that. mark@marksalem.com is my email address. mark@marksalem.com. I check my email on a regular basis, and please leave your phone number if you have a question, and I'd like to call you back because my fingers are really stubby and I don't type real well.